Welcome to the PapaCast. Interviews in the world of sports. Now here's your host, Bob Papa.
Welcome to this edition of the PapaCast. We're joined by the great Brian Urlacher. And Brian, obviously, 8 Pro Bowls, 2005 Defensive Player of the Year. But golf's a whole different game. The learning curve, tremendous, isn't it?
It's just hard. It's something different every day. You know, it's the only game where you're never going to be as good as you want to be, in my opinion. It's one day I hit it good, I putt like crap. Next day I putt great, I hit like crap. It's just, it's something different every day. I could be the most inconsistent golfer of all time. It's just, it's so hard, man.
But I've seen you get better, like on the Champions Tour. When we were in Chicago, you got a chance to play with Jeff Sluman, and I saw his caddy, Doug Lloyd, when the Giants were in Minnesota a few weeks ago. We had a little dinner, and they're impressed with your game. I mean, what are some of the things you're doing to work on it?
I'm not practicing, that's for sure. I just, you know, in the winter I play a ton. This year I haven't got a chance to play a bunch because I've been stuck in Chicago doing some stuff. But you know, when I'm in Arizona, I play pretty much every day. So when they see me in June, I've played 300 rounds before I see them, so I should be pretty good by then. But last year I played good with Slew. I was surprised. I hit the ball really solid. I just, you know, but I couldn't make any putts, of course.
Diamond Resorts Invitational, and it's the Florida Hospital for Children, which is the big charity. Why is this event so important, and the giving back to the community a big component of this?
I think that's the main thing, is just the charity work that this golf course is going to bring to this area, and the giving back. And we have a chance. You know, some guys went to the hospital yesterday, or went to a couple hospitals, I think. Just nice to be able to do stuff like this. Most people won't get a chance to meet celebrities like this, you know, in this capacity, I don't think. So it's nice to be able to do this. It's a fun event. They had a great concert last night. Huey Lewis in the news play last night. I know Jake Owens coming on Saturday. So it's cool for us to get a chance to see stuff like that and give a chance to give back a little bit as well.
You're on social media. Hashtag DRI is the hashtag for this. And, you know, Golf Channel is going to have live coverage 2:30 to 4:30 Eastern, Thursday, Friday. So you're shaking your head like, great. It's stressful, huh?
I should be done off the course by then, so it shouldn't be an issue for me. all the good groups see off after me, so I should be okay.
No, you're part of the TV window. That's the beauty of it. We want to see you out there.
You want to see me not playing well so people can laugh at me, I think. That's I just get nervous. The good thing is you don't know when the cameras are on you because they're all over the course, so that's a good thing. You're not going to know when you're on TV. Unless you hit a bad shot, then you're pretty sure it's going to make it on TV.
How much does the Tahoe experience help for this?
A ton. You know, Tahoe is crazy. It's just growing more popular every year, I feel like. With 16, 17, 18 there, the finishing holes are unbelievable with all the people lined up there on the beach. It helps, you know, but I don't think you're ever – for me, I'm never really comfortable playing in front of people like this, but it definitely helps to be out there in front of all those people.
Now, Lanny Watkins is going to get a chance to look at your swing a little bit, which, you know, we do on Golf Channel on the Champions Tour. What do your friends tell you what he said, or do you go back and watch it?
I'll probably go back and watch it. I mean, I watch Golf Channel all the time, so I will definitely go back and watch it. And they're going to replay it 50 times anyway, because that's what they always do. You know, 2 in the morning, they'll probably replay it. But I'll go back and watch. I enjoy any tip I can get, I'll take. You know, I've never had a lesson. Most of my stuff I learned, I watched from watching Golf Channel anyway.
Wilson, driver versus driver. You're going to be part of this. Tell the audience what this is all about.
So they have contestants. They entered a contest. People send these videos to try and – Wilson put out this thing where they're going to take – anyone can make a driver, and they're going to be in this competition. The winner gets $500,000. You just – anyone can – I could make a driver. I can't build a driver. But there's so many entries. There's so many different things with the contestants. It's been a fun process. You know, I'm like the amateur guy. I walk in – because personally, I walk into a store and buy 10 drivers if they tell me they're all good. I mean – I'm an idiot like that, but this one's supposed to, they're trying to find the best driver out there, not because Wilson isn't innovative enough to build one, just they want to, it's a fun competition. So I'm a judge, Frank Thomas used to be a rules official, Tim Clark, Strelsman was on there 1 week. It should be a lot of fun, man. It's fun for me to see that side of the business, but also it's kind of stressful because you have to decide who makes it and who doesn't make it.
But now here's the other thing. You say you watch a lot of Golf Channel,
yes.
So now every time you flip Golf Channel on, you're going to see it.
I know, and the Big Break's gone, too. That doesn't make me happy. I used to love Big Break. So,
you know who's part of our crew doing the broadcast this week? Tom Abbott.
Oh, he is? Oh, I like Tom. And I saw, is it Blair? She's playing. She was on Big Break as well. Anyway, yeah, I mean, I don't like watching myself on TV, so I may have to change the channel when that comes on.
You can't change Golf Channel.
I can change it if I'm on there. That's like a rule I have. Then I go Discovery, and while I'm taking a break from Golf Channel.
Let me ask you a little bit about football here in wrapping this up. John Fox and what he was able to do with Jay Cutler this year, and Jay played pretty well. Steady as you go. You're shaking your head.
He took care of the football better this year, which was great. I think Foxy got through to him, or they ran the football better. You know, they got 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3 a ton this season, which is where you got to be, I believe, in the NFL to be successful. They were good at doing that.
Can you envision the Chicago Bears without Matt Forte if he's not back next year?
I would be shocked if they don't get him back. I mean, he is going to be 30, but Matt hasn't taken the hits. He's still been productive late in his career. He was productive last year. I can't see him going anywhere. I hope they don't let him get away, because I can't see him playing for anybody else.
Are you surprised that they pulled the plug on Lovie in Tampa so quickly?
Couldn't believe that. I don't know what's going on down there. I thought they had a good year this year. Were they 6-10, 5-11? I mean, not great, but he had a rookie quarterback. They were 2-14 the year before, and they go 6-10. Actually, they were in the playoff hunt there in the middle of the season for a little bit. I was shocked. You know, I thought he was building something good down there, and then there must have been something going on we don't know about. We'll find out later, I'm sure.
Defensively, they struggled. It's clear they wanted to keep the offensive coordinator, Dirk Cutter, because of what Jameis Winston did. But it's kind of an odd thing, because Lovie was calling all the shots, and the next thing you know, he's out.
That thing shocked me. That shocked me the most this year with the coaches being fired and stuff like that. Plus, I'm a huge fan of Lovie, so I felt that team was going in the right direction. Now they're back where they started. You know, they've, three or four coaches now in the last 6 or 7 years. Just they can't find a guy that they like, I guess.
When you look at the NFC playoffs, and obviously the great year Carolina had, and Cam Newton looks like he's really developed as a player, are you impressed with what you've seen out of him?
Oh, for sure. I mean, the thing he's done, he's thrown for 5 touchdowns in 3 or 4 games. He can always run the football. Their defense plays great. They got a week off with Seattle coming in. I like – they're good on special teams. They're good at every aspect of the game, so I like what Ron's done with that football team.
What do you think of Arizona?
They're good too. You know, they're explosive. The thing you look at them on offense, or even on defense, or they get pressure on the quarterback. I think not having Matthews is going to hurt him a little bit in the secondary. I think he was one of their key components back there. But they're both explosive football teams.
As an NFC North guy and a Chicago Bear through and through, did you feel a little empathy for the way Minnesota lost that game?
No, I didn't. You feel, I mean, you put yourself in a position to win a game like that. I know the elements were bad. It was cold. It looked cold as heck on TV. But, you know, that's football. You know, you got to make plays when you get a chance to make plays.
If Brian Urlacher was a Cincinnati Bengal, what would you have done? Because I talked to Justin Tuck on this podcast about this. What needed to be done with that football team in that critical moment where all hell broke loose? Yeah.
55 would not have been on the field late in the game if it was. I mean, I was watching the game with my fiance. And I was like, he's going to cost him the game. He's going to do, because every play he was fighting with somebody or talking. I said, he's going to do something to cost him the game. And sure enough, he gets a pick. I was like, well, it didn't cost him the game. He ran up the tunnel. Nothing happened. But then comes back the next series. You know, the penalty on Antonio Brown. You know, those penalties happen. They're full speed penalties. But it's unfortunate. I really like Marvin Lewis. Just very unfortunate. But he would not have been in the game if I was on that football team.
And then Joey Porter, I mean, it's not often that you see an outside linebacker's coach on the field tending to an injured wide receiver. In your opinion, was he out there literally trying to stir the pot?
I don't think so. Joey's been in the middle of a few arguments in his day when he played, but I don't think – it didn't – I mean, he backed off right away when the guys came out. He wasn't trying to start. In my opinion, he wasn't. You know, could be a different story, but it looked like he was just out there checking on AB.
You think that's all he was doing?
Yeah. Did you see his face when it came over to him? It looked like he was just trying to back up.
Defensive guys always stay together. All right, so Brian Urlacher, if I could ask you to put together a dream foursome, who would it be with? Non-family. Okay, obviously, you know, parents and all that stuff, but non-family.
Tiger Woods, Jack Nicklaus, and I got to pick one more person. Marissa Miller. Do you know who that is?
Inform me.
You don't know who that is? She was a Victoria's Secret model.
Oh yeah. I'm trying to think of someone who plays golf.
I don't know if she plays golf or not, but she would be our fourth.
All right, so now your go-to meal, and what would be the coolest group of, say, 4 or 5 dinner companions where you could just sit down, relax, and have interesting conversation?
Man, there's so many good restaurants in Chicago. I'll take Gibson's. I'll take Joe Stone Crab, Benny's Chop House, any one of those three. Now, the guys to just hang out with. I met Reggie Jackson last night. He's a cool guy. If I could just kind of sit around and talk, I think talk to him for a little bit. He's not as tall as I thought he would be. You envision, you see a guy on TV, you're like, that's he's a big man. But was not what I thought he, size-wise. But obviously, his numbers speak for himself. But I got to pick four or five people. Can I be friends this time?
You can be friends. But, I mean, like, people that you'd like to either pick their brains and find out what made them great or someone. It could be an actor. It could be anything.
I don't know, man. I mean, I'm so lucky that I've got a chance to meet a lot of cool people doing what I've done my whole career. So I feel like I've met most of the people. I like is Dwayne Johnson. Dwayne's the man. He's fun. I'm a huge Tiger Woods fan. I'd love to pick his brain about some certain things, stuff like that. Mickelson, another big fan of his. If I could get like Jason Day, if I could get like four or five of the best golfers in the world at one time the best golfers in the world at one table, I think that'd be cool as hell.
So they all be golfers, huh? Not former football players?
I've met most of the former football players. I'm such a huge golfer, and I haven't met hardly any of the golfers that I watch on TV every weekend. So that'd be cool for me. But football-wise, I've met pretty much everybody I want to meet.
So, like, you're having a really cool dinner with all these people, and Frank Sinatra's at the table. How's that going?
Oh, that's pretty cool. I'm sure he's holding court at that table. He's probably the one everyone's talking to.
Wrapping up here with Brian Urlacher, Diamond Resorts Invitational. Florida Hospital for Children, Golf Channel, 2:30 to 4:30 throughout the weekend. How realistically high in the order can you finish here?
I don't know. If I'm in the top 25, I'll be happy. That's where I've been. I've been close to that in Tahoe every year. I just want to embarrass myself. I haven't been playing well the last couple of days out here, so I don't want to embarrass myself, that's for sure. But if I can make a few, I've made the change from the belly putter to the short putter this year. So I'm struggling on the greens right now. So if I can make a few putts, I think that would help my confidence.
Just think that they're all going to go in. Don't worry about the comebacker.
The easy to say when you're not putting for a bogey putt for 10 feet to save 2 points. It's stressful.
Listen, Brian, we appreciate you taking the time, and have fun out there. And our cameras will be on you. We'll be watching.
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it.
We're joined by noted actor and golfer Jack Wagner. And Jack, let's talk a little bit about your passion for golf and where that first developed.
Well, it started when I was about 8 or 9 years old. I'm from a small town in Missouri, and my father played a little 9-hole course nearby, so I just started caddying and hanging out there, and that's where I picked the game up. And, from there, I never was on an established golf team or anything structured when it came to golf, and so it's just been a passion of mine. That's it.
But how did it develop into a true talent? I mean, I know it's a passion. There's a lot of people that are out there that are passionate that can't break 90 or then can't break 80. You play at a winning level, having won out in Lake Tahoe several times.
Yeah. I really don't know. I think when something fits your eye and you can feel it, whether it's a tennis racket or a bowling ball or a golf club, I just started practicing and hitting golf balls. And then, when I went to University of Arizona and made the golf team as a junior, and I got no scholarship, so I'd been doing theater in high school and junior college, and I went to the head of the drama department and prepared a song, dance, and a monologue and got a full ride tuition in drama, so I quit playing golf. And I didn't pick it up again until I was on General Hospital, and the producer's husband, they were members at Bel Air Country Club, so I went over there and joined Bel Air, and that's when I started playing seriously again. And then when won the AT&T with John Cook in 1991, and then that was the year Tahoe started. So that's kind of how it all fell together with this golfing career that several of us athletes and celebrities have.
What's it like to be kind of the favorite going into a lot of these events? When people think of celebrity golf, at least people that aren't that familiar with it, and they think Jack Wagner's name is one of the first names that rolls off people's tongues.
I think most athletes, as well as myself, any kind of entertainers, we can handle the heat when we're doing our thing. Like when they make free throws, pitch baseballs, when I hit my mark and know my lines, I can do that and handle it. But when it comes to golf, I think we're all just trying not to embarrass ourselves by missing a 4-foot putt or, hitting a bad shot or something. And, I've just been fortunate enough a few times to kind of gut it out down the stretch because You know, anytime I've won, it's always been pretty close. But, you know, winning out here is such a treat. You know, it's such a thrill to play real golf and win a golf tournament.
Talk to me a little bit about Diamond Resorts Invitational. And obviously, the Florida Hospital for Children is a huge component of this. Golf is always about giving back. You give a lot back. Why is this so important to you?
Well, I think Lake Tahoe, what's happened up there charity-wise, and then for them to put together an event like this and kind of have a winter event, the turnout we've had down here for the Pro-Am and the banquets has been incredible. I know they've raised over $1 million already for Florida Children's Hospital. So the older I get, the more I see that giving back is really what this is all about. And I think you could say the same for every athlete that's here. You know, when you're on some sort of platform, people know who you are and you kind of lead by example a bit. So I do my best to take any picture with anyone, say hello to the volunteers, et cetera, because, you know, that energy bleeds out into everything we do. So that's why these tournaments are so much fun for everybody.
Yeah, hashtag DRI for anyone on social media that wants to get involved in this. And obviously, money goes to a great cause. I want to ask you about acting. And you know, you're so good at it. You make it look so natural. Explain to the listener how much hard work goes into it.
It's like any career. It's preparation. You know, you have to be prepared. You got to know your lines. And then when you get to the set, in my experience, the shows that I've worked on that have been the best, there's a collaboration on set with the director, the other actors. But it is preparation. You know how Steph Curry's in that gym. They show him prior to the game. He's in there a couple hours early, dribbling, shooting, this and that. And that's what actors do. You know, we are on our game. We know our lines. We understand what the story arc is. And, you know, that's the key to making it look easy. Because when somebody's relaxed and you don't see them working, that means they prepared.
Have you ever had a part where you got cast for a part, and as you read the script and as you dove into it, you said, this may not really be for me. I can't relate to this character.
Never. No actor will tell you they're not right for this part because we think we can do everything. That's unfortunately a downfall sometimes. But I think the greatest part I ever had was Jekyll and Hyde on Broadway, because I think we all have a dark side in us. We obviously do. So to be able to play this kind of 1880s gothic tragedy and have the wig and the, you know, the makeup and the period piece, you know, I did that for 6 months and could have done it longer, but my family commitment on the West Coast. But, you know, there are, on the flip side of that, you do get parts sometimes, you know, that are like, oh my goodness, this is just so amazing. You know, and I've Jack Nicholson's locker's near mine at Bel Air Country Club, and every now and then he'll be there, and you know, if you catch him at the right moment, he'll just give you stuff, you know, talk about scripts and stories, and he's like, you know, I've only had about three in my life where you just open it and it's right on the page, and that one of them was Something's Gotta Give and Cuckoo's Nest and those kind of things. So, you know, I think any actor will tell you that when it's there on the page, you feel it and you know it. And when it's not there on the page, you have to find it.
What's the role? What parts for you have been that? Where you read it and you just said, my skill, everything matches perfectly for this for me. My personality, this is hard work, but it's a walk in the park as far as me being able to dive into it.
Yeah, I would probably say Frisco Jones on General Hospital. I still get so many Friscos, you know, down here at this tournament. And Dr. Peter Burns on Melrose Place, you know, a guy like me that can be a leading man and you can combine two things, which is charisma and also mystery, like something dangerous about you. You know, that is really the two elements that I look for in scripts or in a part or try to create in a character. How can I make this guy sexy, charming, but also unpredictable?
Jack, teamwork. You're around team athletes all the time. Can you talk about collaborating when you're working on a weekly series and how important it is to really be like a cohesive locker room or a cohesive basketball or football team?
That's a great question because it's very true. You know, I think you see when people get awards, Emmys or Oscars or Golden Globes, they're always talking about, you know, my family on the show or my family in the movie. And it's really, that's what it is. I mean, you show up there in the morning, you're there 10 to 12, 14 hours a day. And the older I get, the more I understand how important it is to have, you know, the right attitude. I'm sure with you guys in the booth, right when you're doing golf, you want everybody to be in a good mood. You want to crack some jokes. You want to make it lighthearted because there's a lot of pressure in what we do. You know, when the camera's on, you know, you got to be on. And so if everybody's working at the same thing, it makes it a lot easier. So it very much is a team event.
Swing back to golf here and wrapping up. First of all, with the Diamond Resort Invitational, is there a number that you feel you need to put up the first day to get off to a good start? Because it's a little bit different than Tahoe. The ball doesn't travel as far. The weather is cooler. Yep. It's totally different.
Well, listen, I was talking to one of the other players the other night, and we had the players meeting, and we started laughing like, well, of course everybody had 6-7 birdies today. Yeah, of course you did. You know, sure, Tuesday, Monday, everybody has 6 or 7 birdies, right? What are you going to do during the tournament, right? Because that's when it really changes. Because that nice little 110-yard little wedge you have into the green changes when it's actually, tournament time. So to pick a number this week, I think there's probably about 10 to 15 guys that can shoot 68 out here, no problem, you know. But when the tournament comes, I would think anywhere from probably 7 or 8 under par on this golf course would probably win.
See it live on Golf Channel on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 2:30 to 4:30. So if I asked you to put together Jack Wagner's dream foursome, who would it be?
It would have to be my two sons and my deceased father.
Your two sons. Okay. So your boys, are they as passionate about it as you are?
No. They were when they were younger, but they've kind of drifted off in their own path now. But, you know, he never got to meet them, so that would be my dream foursome.
Well, that sounds like a wonderful foursome. Jack, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much for joining us on this edition of the PapaCast. Spread the word. We're trying to build a following, but it's always fun seeing you, and it's going to be great seeing you on TV this week here on Golf Channel, and enjoy the weekend. Because I know you always have fun with it. You take it serious, and you're a real competitor, but you always keep people engaged, which is really cool.
Oh, thanks. I kind of go by the motto, if we haven't had a good laugh at ourselves today, we've missed the real joke. So I'll be laughing at myself.
All right, and go win, too.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, Jack Wagner joining us here on the show.